Yes, I'm often referred to as the fourth crash test dummy. Or however many crash test dummies there were, theoretically.
I'm one more than that. I don't really know how many crash test.
How many crash test dummies are there
in the group? Nobody really seems to know or care.
I have a lot of things to talk about today. This is Colin McEnroe. Bruce is off. You will not hear Bruce on this radio station, I think, until we're in tape form. I think December 29th, I think, is
next time Bruce will be appearing among us. But so we'll just have to soldier on bravely.
I've got a lot of things to cover today. Although, you know, I have this kind of untoward question that kind of popped into my head today. Because, in fact, as an older man, I find that hair is growing out of various parts of me that I never really sort of planned on having hair grow out of. And so then I was thinking about sort of laser hair removal. Because I've got hair growing out of my back, for example. And even part of me a little lower than my back, but on the same side of me. And so what I was wondering is, when they do laser hair removal, like on your butt, for example, you know how when you get your hair cut, the barber comes over at the end and he puts the mirror behind you so that you can look into the mirror in front of you and see the back of your head? Did they do that? Does the laser hair removal doctor, does he bring a mirror over so you can see what it looks like now? Right. I don't know why that crossed my mind earlier today, and I realized it's uncalled for. But I had to share it with someone, so I picked X thousand of you. My name is Colin McEnroe. I think I said that already. Bobby Sherwood producing today's show. We've got some guests coming up later on in the day. But right now is a good opportunity for you to participate in the wonderful, wacky world of open phones here. Now, there are things going on here in the state of Connecticut that have now attracted national attention. When I say national attention, the performance yesterday in Cromwell of Governor Rowland and his wife Patty, has attracted, it wound up on page one of the New York Times today. Greg Platke from the New Haven Register was an extended guest on I Miss in the Morning this morning. CNN was just before I went on the air today, CNN was calling me asking if I could be interviewed for CNN about this, and on and on and on. I mean, it is now a national story. If it wasn't going to be before, the Rowlands took care of that. With, I think, you know, one of the really sort of amazing performances of chutzpah and arrogance that, I mean, even for them, it was pretty amazing. Now, try to sort of picture this for a second. Governor Rowland goes in front of, first of all, on Friday, last Friday, Governor Rowland apologizes to the people of Connecticut and to the Capitol Press Corps for lying to them. He apologizes. Then yesterday he goes to Cromwell, to this Middlesex Community Chamber of Commerce thing, whatever it's called, and he gives this humble Urias Heep speech about how he's just a sinner in the hands of an angry God, and he's begging for mercy and all this kind of stuff, and he's humble, and he's going to try to be better, but he knows he'll make mistakes again, and which was very unreassuring. The part where he said he knows that he'll make more mistakes. What exactly kinds of mistakes is he planning to make from now on? Well, anyway, so he gives this very humble speech asking for forgiveness and all, and expressing contrition and stuff like that. And then, you know, in kind of a tag team moment, Patty Rowland, his wife, reads this poem where she just talks smack to the press and, you know, and strikes and lashes out at, you know, members of the media for covering this story at all. And what I didn't quite understand yesterday, I was flabbergasted by this, and I said at the time, you know, she really ought to change her attitude, because, you know, if she keeps this up, the next person she's going to be reading her poetry to is going to be Wally Lamb. But I didn't even quite grasp, and I didn't grasp until I read Ken Dixon's column in the Connecticut Post today, the fact that there was this kind of very stagey moment where, in a stage whisper, John Rowland said, as she started to do this poem, "Go for it, hon." And I think she said something back like, you know, "What's the worst they could do to us?" or something like that. But this is clearly, I mean, she didn't get up there with this poem. I mean, if I'd given this a moment's thought, I would have realized it. She didn't get up there to read that poem without him having vetted it. I mean, he knew what she was going to do. And so when you think about it, it exposes the fact that he didn't mean a word of what he said in his speech.
Because the poem is just one big, gigantic up yours to all the people who have taken him on about this and have pointed out all the things that he's so desperate to apologize for now and to beg for mercy for and to talk to God about, you know. I'm sure, by the way, God was watching this speech and saying, hey, don't drag me into this, all right? I don't want, you should have been talking to me like 3 years ago, all right? Now, go talk to Satan, all right? You already pick sides. But, I mean, this poem that she read was just a gigantic, up yours, everybody. And I have to assume that in that capacity, she's basically Charlie McCarthy to his Edgar Bergen. I mean, he doesn't really feel like he can say this. He has to sort of look down at his shoes and beg for mercy and all this kind of stuff. But if, in fact, 2 seconds later, she's going to get up there and in a 180-degree reversal of tone, say, screw you, everybody. I don't even see why anybody should pay any attention to a word of what he said in his speech. Because I would imagine that he wouldn't have his wife getting up there to read that kind of a poem right after his speech, if he meant the speech at all. But anyway, that particular juxtaposition was so bizarre that it really has attracted the attention of the national press. And I think we're going to be famous for this for a while, for good or ill. Here's Nancy in her car. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. My question for the day is, what the heck were they thinking? Don't they have anybody previewing, you know, these speeches before?
I think not. I think one thing that's clear about the Rowlands, what's been clear about John Rowland for a long time. I remember talking to a guy, a very famous costume designer named John Conklin, about what it was like to try to design costumes for Pavarotti. And he said that, you know, Pavarotti would put the costumes on backwards and then say, you know, too tight, he's too tight, and rip them off his body and stuff like that. And after a while, John Conklin said he would just design the costumes and hang them up in Pavarotti's dressing room and let him wear them any way he wanted to for any scene that he wanted to. And I think Roland's a little bit like that. I mean, he's got handlers. He's got David Boomer trying to shape his political destiny. He's now got a lawyer named William Dow, who I'm sure is saying things like, please don't do anything provocative. You've got enough problems right now.
Absolutely.
I don't think he listens to any of them.
And if his speech had any redemption value, he set it back 10 miles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Well, I saw this on the 10 o'clock news last night, and I was up half the night. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe what was done.
Well, it's important not to get swept up too much in these things. You shouldn't be losing sleep over it. They should be losing sleep. The problem is they're not losing sleep over it. They still don't
You're
get
right.
it. They don't get how much trouble they're in, I don't think.
No, they don't. Well, I really hope they are, because, I don't know, I'm not happy with the reaction from the Democrats and the Republicans.
No, the Democrats have been kind of cheating with these. But to tell you the truth, some of the Republicans are starting to stand up. And I think Simmons has said some pretty harsh stuff.
Yes.
And Shays' comments, if you parse them, are stronger than they initially appear, particularly because he sort of says if anything else comes out, you're dead. Now, another thing that happened yesterday was that the Providence Journal, now keep in mind, this is the Providence Journal, no stranger to political corruption. I mean, they're not the kind of people who are, they've been covering Buddy Cianci all these years, so they're not shocked by this stuff. They did an editorial this morning demanding that Rowland resign. The editorial concludes with the sentence, Governor Rowland's political career is over, he should resign. And I would say, you go, Providence Journal. Anyway, thanks for your call, Nancy. Here's Doris. Hi, Doris.
Good afternoon, Colin. I just wanted to say, I really do believe John Rowland is sorry. It's just, he's sorry he got caught, not sorry for what he did, which is why he could mention, well, I may make mistakes again. Of course he is, only he hopes he'll cover his tracks a little better the next time.
I was waiting till it's darker out this time. Definitely next time the contractors will be working under cover of darkness. All right,
I agree.
Thanks for your call, Doris. Really appreciate it. This is Colin McEnroe. Our number's not that there are many open lines, but there is one right now, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. I'll squeeze one more call in before the break. It's Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine from Farmington.
Hi, Colin.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask whether anybody picked up the fact that Rowland said that he's going to try to do a better job of watching the people that work for him. Because he took the responsibility. That's not taking responsibility. He thinks these other people screwed up, and I really think he absolutely directed them to do what they did. it's not that, you know, he wasn't watching them, because he's just, on one hand he's saying, I'm taking responsibility, on the other, he's not at all.
Well, that's very typical John Rowland, and if you send him up there to say five things, he'll always say eight things, and the three extra things that he said will be things that his handlers and his lawyers didn't want him to say, and that either can be easily disproven or amount to the kind of thing that you're talking about, Lorraine, where, in fact, he appears to be taking responsibility and sloughing off responsibility all in one breath. It's 20 minutes past 3. We're going to take a little break right now. This is Colin McEnroe, and we shall return.
The chief priority for Dr. Wiesenthal and his staff, Linda and Magdalena. Call 674-0707 for an appointment for the smile you've always wanted in the Atlas Fearless Smile of Success. Most insurance is accepted, mainly, however, dental insurance, not car insurance. Located in Old Avon Village on Route 44 in Avon, at the sign with the silver toothbrush, easy parking, some evening hours. Dr. Jerry, the time Mr. Peterson calling. Call today at 674-0707.
Speaking of that, the bid on that item is $555, as best as I can figure out right now. It's a $500 gift certificate, but keep in mind, the overage is tax deductible. So, plus you're helping a good cause, so think about that. Meanwhile, it's Christmas. Make sure everybody in your shopping list wakes up to find a Vermont teddy bear staring at them from the foot of the bed. Well, or you could put it under the tree, I suppose. It doesn't make any difference. But people love getting these bears, and they're great bears. I mean, they're just really, they're much better made. You can move their arms and legs and pose them in, you know, interesting ways. I mean, you know what I mean. 1-800-829-BEAR. They really are great bears. They're much better made than your average teddy bear. The original design of the first teddy bear from 1902 is the template for what Vermont teddy bears are now. But these are just like a million times better. I don't know. And they got all kinds of special customized bears, and Elvis bears, and holiday heartthrob bears, and earth angel bears, and Santa bears, and blue Christmas bears, and John Rowland bears with their own hot dogs and stuff like that. Just call them up right now. Talk to a bear counselor. Explain who it is that you're shopping for, and they'll find a bear that fits that person. These are absolutely the best bears you're going to find. They'll become old friends, and they're unconditionally guaranteed for a lifetime, whatever that means. The reaction you get with a Vermont teddy bear is just unbelievable. So, do it now, all right? Order now. They can still have the bear delivered overnight for Christmas week. Call 1-800-829-BEAR today, or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. That's 1-800-829-BEAR. And tell them Lou Dobbs sent.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
So anyway, back to the Roosevelt Hotel. So I'm finally done, and they hand me my bag, and I look at the Secret Service and agent, and I look him right in the eyes, and I said, remember, never buy a bag that folds three ways. I just walked away. I thought, you know, I'll probably be tailed the rest of the time I'm in New York City. And then I actually did check the bag illegally in the hotel and walked out and lived to tell the tale.
It must be from Footprints Family Super Shoe Store in Newington is your...
And there you have the whole idea of Lord of the Rings in a nutshell.
Clyde, do you get up every morning and just hope that you can find some opportunity to get on a talk radio station and explain why Yes was the greatest rock group ever?
No.
All right, good. No, I just want to make sure of that, because that would worry me. I actually like the fact that you called up to say this. It's why I'm in talk radio in the first place. But on the other hand, it's a little disturbing. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. I'm glad we established both of those. Yesterday a warning came, a smile upon its face. This is one of the problems, okay? This is one of the reasons that most of us are going to degenerate into heaps of human pudding, is because we can never, we no longer remember what the Franco-Prussian War was fought over, or when it was fought, or where it was fought. But we know the words to Roundabout by, it can't be good. That can't be good that I, it couldn't, it can't even be good that I understood what he was talking about. But anyway, I think I'm the one who committed this grievous error that he was objecting to. I mean, I do believe that we use television to process our existing reality, and we use movies to help us dream. That's why, like, you know, when you watch Star Trek, it's basically about where you work. You know, where like Captain Kirk is basically your boss. He's been sexually out of control, and the only way he can resolve disputes is by punching people. I worked for Captain Kirk, all right? He wasn't going by that name at that time. And, you know, well, never mind. We're out of time. Later.
That I broke your...
And we're back. It's a little bit extra here because...
Not to make myself sound important, but CNN is trying to interview me right now about the Rollins and our problems.
We're having technical difficulties. Anyway, that was Crystal Gale from the soundtrack of One from the Heart. And we're going to talk in just a moment also to Andy Flesh, state representative. I'm out of breath today. I'm running up and down the hall. Later on in the show today, we'll also try to take your phone calls as well about this. Our numbers, of course, you know, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. It does seem as though the events of yesterday, somehow or other, the Rollins managed to take this thing, which was sort of a low-level political scandal, you know, here in the state of Connecticut, and turn it into a national story, which it clearly is now. I mean, the New York Times once again played it on page one. Imus in the morning, this morning, had Greg Gladke from the Haven Register on. And the Providence Journal, no stranger to corruption, the Providence Journal has an editorial in today's paper calling for Governor Rowland to...